Penguin Random House Audio presents Lita and the Swan by Anna Karich. Read for you by Alex McKenna. 4. Mom. A sudden blow, the great wings beating still. Above the staggering girl, her thighs caressed by the dark webs, her nape caught in his bill. He holds her helpless breast upon his breast. How can those terrified, vague fingers push the feathered glory from her loosening thighs? And how can body, laid in that white rush, but feel the strange heart beating where it lies? A shudder in the loins engenders there, the broken wall, the burning roof and tower, and Agamemnon dead. Being so caught up, so mastered by the brute blood of the air, did she put on his knowledge with his power before the indifferent beak could let her drop? Lita and the Swan, William Butler Yeats, 1924. Chapter 1. Saturday, October 31st. Lita tied her neon pink running shoes while angels, astronauts, and superheroes began their first rounds of trick-or-treating. They passed her on the front step of the Psi Delta sorority, adjusting halos, dragging polyester tails, running, or being advised no running, or simply being carried, an amazed bumblebee, a pod of peas. In astronomy class, Lita had learned that the world was 4.5 billion years old and that humanity had barely wrinkled the cosmic scheme. Life was small, she knew. But it felt big in moments like these, hearing children's high voices, the tit of masked chickadees, and police sirens singing somewhere, almost sweet. It felt big when she could just open her door and witness the dogwood's last red leaves, the crisp sunlight, and the white abacus of clouds overhead, shifting. Here was Lita, with the world around her, ringing. Then, here was Lita wondering, as if the day were a threshold, if today might be the beginning or end of things. Something, she sensed, was slipping. The children were headed to the college lawn, a grassy, terraced quad surrounded by 10 pavilions and 50 or so upperclassmen rooms whose residents, Lita assumed, were already handing out candy from their stoops. As a kid, Lita had come to this festival too. When she'd caught her mom pilfering a piece of her candy, her mom had joked, chewing, that she was checking for poison. Now, Lita was too old for trick-or-treating. She stretched wide-legged in front of the house, the crown of her head reaching down. She smelled brick moss and dropped leaves. Upside down, she watched a band of pirates cross under the stoplight at the corner of Memorial Road and University. She watched a T-bone steak dash for a neighbor's kiddie pool, which was full of melted ice and unopened Natty Light. The steak's parent, a cow, wrangled the kid and carried him back toward the sidewalk through dewy red cups. Lita stretched, and her skull grazed the ground. She looked up at her freckled legs, short shorts, and beyond, an arrow of honking geese, the wind pushing clouds. Her guess was morning, though the time didn't matter, really. It was Saturday. She yawned, upside down, and covered her mouth. Funny, covering her mouth when no one was around. She jogged to the nearby varsity field for calf stretches. It had a classical Roman theater aesthetic with gray columns and concrete seating, and that crumbly vibe, that dilapidated energy that made students feel comfy enough to pass out there, or leave their used tampons there, or have sex. Even though this seemed uncomfy to Lita, there was broken glass everywhere. The arches and colonnades were part of the look her university had gotten off on for 200 years, though the architecture was less cared for here. It was off grounds and surrounded by Greek life, aka drunk people everywhere. Bland brick dormitories stood at the far end of the field. Beyond the dorms, Lita could see O Hill, O for observatory, one of her two preferred runs. The trail went through dense woodland and ended at the university's refracting telescope. Her other run took her to a Civil War-era graveyard downtown. Though this one was shorter in miles, it always took longer than O Hill because she'd made a habit of wandering among the graves, searching, half-consciously, for family names. She never found anything. The grave that mattered, her mother's, was 40 miles away. Lita turned her back on the mountain, put her toes on the edge of a step, and stretched her heels down. Someone had spilled glitter here, making the grit shimmer. Overhead, five pairs of panties fluttered from a string tied between two pillars of the Doric colonnade. Across the street, the sun peered over the Kappa Chi fraternity. Greek letters and the tags of secret societies decorated all sides of the building. A girl in a sequined shirt sat on a porch keg in front of a painted chi. The white X sprang from behind her like wings. In the yard, a fleshy mask drooped from the end of a stake. Inside the frat, something like feedback cracked. Lita picked up her feet, ducking the panty flags, about to start running, when piano spilled from the fraternity. Two doves, like firecrackers, lobbed into the sky. The sequined girl looked after them as the music wobbled, synth now, and again piano. It could have been a warped LP, or it could have been Lita's ear misinterpreting the sound. Major chords staggering into minor, an unclear key. Then the piano flared again. Then the dizzy singing. You can dance. A train clattered along the far edge of the athletic field, drowning Dancing Queen. By the time Lita had shuffled her feet, a groggy dance, she could barely hear the music. The train flashed behind diamonds of chain link, repeating black, red, and gray geometry. Lita usually waved at the conductors of trains, a silly habit from childhood. But she didn't see a man in the engine window today. See that girl? The sequined girl disappeared as Lita turned the corner. She passed more frats and a few sororities. She crossed Beta Bridge, layered in generations of paint, where already a long stretch of silence thwacked in the wake of the train. A sedan passed, and the air stirred behind it. Down the sidewalk, a tiny Power Ranger walked with his mother. Lita ran. She leapt over a patch of broken glass, gravelly, smashed, and crossed to the other side of the street, where there was also glass. The rotunda rose in the distance, but she turned down a side street and lost sight of it. Overgrown shrubs blocked the sidewalk. Disney princess towels hung on a sorority's porch railing. Jasmine, Belle, Sleeping Beauty. Down Fraternity Row, she passed another girl running, then another. She passed a dining room table jutting into a holly tree, its surface covered with fake cobweb and orange beads. She passed three styrofoam containers holding something that didn't look like food. She passed four boys sitting on a fraternity's roof, drinking from red cups and eating bunless hot dogs. Only one wore a toga, but all four held themselves like small-time gods.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?